is a budget amendment from 2011 from the interim director of the Employee Benefits Division, submitting an informational report regarding dependent eligibility audits. This is also going to the Personnel Committee, and it is informational unless otherwise directed.
Okay. Good morning. Please introduce yourself.
Good morning. Chairman Thomas, Supervisors, and Matt Hanchek, Interim Director of Employee Benefits. The item is an informational update on basically an ongoing issue that we've had, the request to do a dependent eligibility audit. The good news that I have to share is that we're basically in the home stretch on this, that we have a meeting scheduled for Tuesday to select finalists, that we'll be reviewing those finalists and making a selection as soon as administratively feasible afterwards and returning in the January cycle for approval of an audit process and the outstanding policy decisions.
Mm-hmm. Any questions from the committee? Supervisor Smith.
Just had a quick question. Did we have a grace period we were offering to employees? Is that part of the package to, so they make sure they do have a chance to review this?
Chairman, Supervisors, that was the policy decision that I was referring to, whether or not we did a grace or an amnesty period in it. Basically, my intent would be to include that with the recommendations on the vendor and the project plan and let the legislative body decide if that was something that they wanted to offer.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? Supervisor Brown?
I'm just a little confused. Do you feel you haven't gotten policy direction on that? Are you requesting that, or is that something you want to talk about further down the process?
Supervisor, my understanding is that was a point of contention within the two committees on whether or not we would offer an amnesty period. The group that's reviewing the RFP will make a recommendation. It'll tie closely to what's recommended by the selected vendor. But ultimately, whether we do it or not is completely at the county's discretion. And I would assume that you would either approve it as part of the overall initiative or possibly amend it or give counter direction.
Would an amnesty period have a fiscal impact?
Supervisor, the answer is yes and no. The ultimate goal of any eligibility audit is to remove ineligible dependents off the plan. So the amnesty period in and of itself would help that goal. It would help get people off the plan so we didn't incur future expenses. But it could also incur a lost opportunity to recoup some of the funds if we chose to go back and try to rescind claim payments that were made in the past, which is always an iffy proposition. For an ineligible dependent. So there's not a real clear answer to it. Would it cost us any money? I can tell you that most dependent eligibility audits feature some sort of amnesty, again, with that goal of getting people off the plan for future and not worrying so much about what's already been incurred. But again, it's a policy decision. It's something we could do either way.
Well, my only concern is I think the two committees are Personnel and this committee, correct? And Personnel is a little bit more conservative committee. So I would hope that both of those options are looked at versus if you get direction from the Personnel Committee one way, that you still, at least from my perspective, I want to keep that decision open based on the finances and what the actual options are. So I would not support going to the vendor and saying we don't want an amnesty period. So at least I'd like to see what the vendor could offer on, you know, within that possibility is from a no amnesty to some sort of amnesty plan.
Wouldn't there be a cost associated with resubmitting previous prior claims as well as trying to go after individuals to recoup some of the money that the county may have paid out for claims that, I guess, involved individuals which shouldn't have been covered?
Chairman, Supervisors, what we would basically do in a recouping process is if they're a network provider under network contract, the doctor has an obligation to repay the plan. They would have to refund the money to UnitedHealthcare, which would ultimately return to us. And in that scenario, the physician would be responsible for billing their patient for the services they already rendered. In more complicated cases where it requires subrogation, there might be a subrogation fee off the top to cover attorney's expenses from UnitedHealthcare. Those are pretty rare cases, and it's usually more common in issues where it's a dispute between two plans deciding who would pay, for example, a health plan and an auto insurance plan after a car accident.
This is information only. Any further questions? Seeing none, thank you. Item number 9.